Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're all about wire antennas.
Oh, yeah.
And going back to basics with, you know, this classic article that we found from the June 1983 QST magazine.
Nice.
Called Wire Antennas for the Beginner by George H. Woodward, W1RN.
It's a great article, really packed with great advice and diagrams.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect for... anyone who's ever thought about building their own antenna but wasn't sure where to start.
Yeah. So our mission today is to kind of go through the core principles of wire antennas with you guys.
Okay.
Help you figure out which one might be right for you.
Right.
And hopefully spark that DIY spirit.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe you'll be reaching Australia by the end of this.
That's the spirit. Maybe before we get ahead of ourselves, let's tackle the why.
Great.
What makes wire antennas so special, especially for those starting out in the world of ham radio?
Okay, so we all know antennas are essential, but why go the wire route? What are the advantages?
Well, for starters, they're incredibly approachable.
Yeah.
Wire antennas are simple to understand, simple to build, and incredibly cost-effective, especially compared to those big, fancy commercial antennas.
So it's like the DIY route to powerful radio communication.
And Woodward really emphasizes that beginner-friendly approach.
Okay.
He focuses on achievable goals, like making contacts across the U.S., which can be incredibly motivating for someone just starting out.
Yeah, it's all about those early wins.
Yeah.
So let's say you're ready to dive into the world of wire antennas.
Okay.
What are the crucial things to consider when choosing your first one? I mean, there's so many options.
Well, Woodward wisely highlights three key factors.
Okay.
Available space, safety considerations, and the type of operation you're interested in.
Okay.
He even mentions how limited space in Japan influenced antenna choices.
Well, so even if you're working with a small backyard or a balcony, you can still have an effective antenna.
Precisely.
It's about adapting to your environment.
And speaking of adapting, we can't overlook safety.
Right.
The article's feedback section has some great reminders from readers about potential hazards like power lines and trees.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of antenna building.
Right.
And forget about those everyday dangers lurking overhead.
Exactly.
So we got our space figured out. We're being safety conscious.
Okay.
Now let's get into the technical side.
All right.
Feed lines and transmission lines.
Okay.
What's the deal with those?
Think of the feed line as the bridge between your transmitter and the antenna.
Okay.
It carries the RF power, the energy that makes your signal travel.
Okay.
Matching the feed line to your antenna's impedance is crucial.
Okay.
For efficient power transfer.
Impedance matching.
Yeah.
I've heard that term thrown around.
Yeah.
But I'll admit, it's a bit fuzzy for me.
Sure.
What's the simplest way to understand it?
It's all about making sure everything flows smoothly.
Okay.
Think of it like plumbing. If you have a large pipe connected to a small pipe, you're going to have some flow problems.
Ah, so it's like making sure the pipes of our antenna system are all the right size for optimal performance.
And if you're not quite matching, you can use a device called a transmatch.
Okay.
Also known as an antenna tuner.
Okay.
To make those adjustments.
The article mentioned potential issues with the feed line itself, like RF radiation.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? And how do we prevent it?
Good catch. Woodward emphasizes proper shielding.
Okay.
Particularly for coaxial cables.
Okay.
A well-shielded cable keeps that RF energy contained.
Okay.
Preventing interference with other electronics.
Okay. So no unintentional radio signals.
Yeah.
Messing with the TV or other devices.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, amidst all this talk of feed lines and impedance.
Okay.
Let's introduce the star of the show. The classic dipole antenna. This simple design is a staple in the antenna world.
And for good reason.
Yep.
It's a length of wire, carefully calculated to a specific length, usually a half wavelength, and fed at the sender.
Right.
Table 1 in the article provides all those calculations for different frequency bands.
Oh, wow.
It's a treasure trove of information.
It's fascinating how a simple piece of wire can become this powerful tool for communication.
The magic lies in resonance.
Okay.
When an antenna is resonant, it efficiently radiates those radio waves.
Okay.
It's all about finding that sweet spot where everything works in harmony.
So we've chosen our dipole length based on our desired frequency.
Okay.
What comes next? Walk us through the construction and installation process, the fun part.
Figures 1 and 2 in the article provide a visual guide for constructing a basic dipole.
Right.
You'll need some wire, insulators to support it,
okay,
and a center support for the feed point.
Okay.
It's surprisingly simple,
yeah,
but there are some key details to keep in mind.
I'm guessing solid construction is crucial here.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Reader feedback in the article highlights the importance of sturdy supports.
Right.
And weatherproofing.
Makes sense. We're building for longevity here.
Right.
Now we've got our wire strung up, insulators in place,
yeah,
everything's weather ready.
Right.
How do we connect it all to our transmitter?
Figure 3 shows how to connect the coaxial cable to the dipole, ensuring the impedance is matched for efficient power flow.
So that's how we make sure our signal is smoothly delivered from the transmitter to the antenna.
Exactly. But the dipole isn't a one-size-fits-all solution.
Okay.
Woodward also explores some fascinating variations, like the inverted V dipole.
Speaking of variations, the inverted V sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
What makes it different from the classic dipole?
Well, as the name suggests, it's a dipole bent into a V shape.
Okay.
Figure 2 illustrates it perfectly.
Okay.
This configuration can be a lifesaver for those with limited space, as it doesn't require as much horizontal clearance.
Ah, so it's like a space-saving hack.
You could say that.
For antenna enthusiasts.
But there are trade-offs.
Okay.
Adjusting the angle of the V can impact the antenna's performance.
Right.
Especially its directivity,
yep,
which is the direction it radiates most of its power.
Interesting. So it's a balancing act between saving space.
Exactly.
And optimizing signal strength.
And we've got the classic dipole, the space-saving inverted V.
Yeah.
Any other cool variations to explore?
No.
Hold on to your hats, because we're entering the realm of multi-band dipoles.
Okay.
Figure 5 is a must-see for this one.
Okay.
Imagine accessing multiple frequency bands with a single antenna.
Wow.
That's the power of a multi-band dipole.
Multiple bands, a single antenna.
Yeah.
What's the catch?
Well, there's a bit more complexity in the design and calculations.
Okay.
You need to figure out the lengths of the different sections of wire to achieve resonance on those various frequencies.
So it's a bit more advanced.
Yeah.
But offers a lot more versatility.
Exactly.
Okay, let's say we've built our antenna, whatever type it may be.
Okay.
How do we make sure it's actually working as intended?
Okay.
What's the testing process like?
Every antenna needs a good checkup before it goes live.
Right.
Woodward recommends using an SWR meter to check the standing wave ratio.
Okay.
It tells you how well your antenna is matched to your feed line.
Right. We talked about impedance matching earlier.
Right.
So a good SWR reading means we're in the clear.
A good SWR reading means efficient power transfer, which translates to a stronger signal.
Right.
And if it's a bit off, don't worry.
Okay.
Woodward gives tips for adjusting the antenna's length for that perfect resonance.
So there's always room for fine tuning.
Exactly.
It's like finding the perfect tuning for a musical instrument.
And speaking of fine tuning,
yeah,
Woodward even mentions someone erecting their antenna during a howling blizzard in the article.
Wow.
Talk about dedication.
That's some serious commitment to antenna building.
It is.
It sounds like a little bit of trial and error is all part of the fun.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And speaking of fun,
yeah,
Woodward doesn't just stop at the technical details.
Yeah.
He also shares some real-world examples that highlight the magic of wire antennas.
Oh, I love a good success story.
Yeah.
What kind of amazing things are people achieving with these seemingly simple setups?
He mentions DXers.
Okay.
Those long-distance communication enthusiasts.
Right.
Successfully working stations in Europe and even Australia using wire antennas.
Wow.
Imagine that.
That's incredible.
Reaching across continents with just a length of wire.
It really shows you don't need fancy, expensive equipment
yeah,
to get started in the world of ham radio.
Exactly. And Woodward even shares some feedback for readers who built their own antennas based on his article.
Oh, cool.
Talk about real-world validation.
Okay, tell me more. What kind of successes were they reporting?
Well, one reader in Pennsylvania managed to work over 100 countries.
Wow.
On just the 15-meter band using a simple wire antenna.
That's awesome.
Another reader in California reported making contacts as far away as New Zealand.
Wow. Those are some serious DX achievements.
It is.
It's inspiring to see how something as simple as a wire antenna can open up a world of communication possibilities.
It really is. And remember, these are just a few examples.
Right.
Who knows what you might achieve with your own wire antenna creation.
Now, that's a thought to leave our listeners pondering.
Right.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's dive into some of the practical nitty-gritty of antenna construction.
Okay.
Woodward really gets into the details, even down to the type of materials to use.
Yes. He even discusses choosing the right size wire.
Okay.
Using the example of a 100-watt transmitter with 50-ohm resistance.
Okay.
To illustrate how to calculate the current flowing through the antenna.
Hold on. Choosing the right wire size sounds more complicated than I thought.
It's all about safety and efficiency.
Okay.
Knowing the current helps you choose a wire with a thick enough gauge to handle the power without overheating.
Okay.
You don't want your antenna turning into a fire hazard.
Makes sense. So we figured out the wire situation.
Okay.
What about those insulators Woodward keeps mentioning?
Okay.
What's their role?
Insulators prevent the electrical current from leaking out of the antenna wire.
Okay.
Imagine your antenna is a water pipe.
Okay.
And the insulators are the sections that prevent leaks.
Right. We don't want any unintended electrical pathways. Yeah. Safety first. What kind of insulators does he recommend?
He specifically recommends good quality ceramic or plastic insulators.
Okay.
Choosing the right materials for the job is key here.
It seems like every detail matters when it comes to antenna construction.
It does.
Now, let's talk about putting our dipole up.
Okay.
Woodward presents that classic setup using a vent pipe on a roof.
Right. Figure one shows that setup.
Okay.
It involves attaching a sturdy mast to the vent pipe for support.
Okay.
It's crucial to keep the antenna away from metal objects to prevent interference.
Right. And remember those reader comments we mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
They reminded us to add strain relief to that vent pipe.
Oh, right.
To prevent damage from antenna movement.
Okay.
Smart thinking.
Learning from those who've been there and done that is always a good idea.
It is.
Now, what about grounding?
Okay.
Why is that so crucial?
Grounding is essential for safety.
Right.
It provides a path for lightning strikes and static discharges to safely flow into the ground.
Okay.
Protecting you and your equipment.
Okay.
He suggests using a heavy gauge copper wire connected to a good ground rod.
Okay.
Driven into the earth.
All right. So it's like a safety valve for our antenna system.
Exactly.
Better safe than sorry. Now, how do we connect that coaxial cable to the antenna?
Okay.
What are the key things to remember?
He provides a detailed description,
okay,
illustrated in figure three,
right,
showing how to prepare the coaxial cable,
mm-hmm,
strip the outer insulation,
right,
and connect the center conductor and braided shield to the correct sides of the dipole. It's like a step-by-step guide.
Yeah.
Perfect for visual learners like me.
He recommends using a good quality coaxial connector,
right,
to ensure a weatherproof and reliable connection.
Okay.
He also emphasizes making clean, solid connections for optimal electrical contact.
So no loose connections or leaks allowed.
Right.
Now, we've talked about that classic vent pipe setup,
mm-hmm,
but are there other ways to install our dipole?
Absolutely. Woodward presents an alternative.
Okay.
Using a tree as a support.
Oh, the nature's antenna mast approach.
Right.
I'm guessing height is a factor here.
To a certain extent, yes.
Yeah.
But Woodward wisely points out that it's not just about height.
Okay.
It's more about getting the antenna clear of obstacles.
Okay.
Like branches and buildings.
So even if we can't get it sky high.
Yeah.
As long as it's clear of obstructions, we're good.
Exactly.
What about those other dipole variations we talked about earlier?
Uh-huh.
The inverted V and the multiband dipole. Those sound like they deserve a closer look.
You're right. Let's dive into those intriguing configurations.
Okay.
Starting with the inverted V.
Right.
Remember, it's essentially a dipole bent into a V shape.
Right.
Woodward explains that this configuration can be a great space saver.
Right.
Especially for those with smaller backyards,
yeah,
or those living in apartments.
Perfect for those of us with limited space. It's all about adaptability, really.
Exactly. He even provides a formula for calculating the adjusted length of the wire.
Okay.
When using an inverted V configuration.
Always with the precise calculations. Mm. He doesn't want us to miss a beat.
Right.
Now, onto the multiband dipole.
Okay.
The one that lets us operate on multiple frequency bands with a single antenna.
It's a clever design.
Yeah.
That involves carefully calculating the lengths of different sections of wire.
Okay.
To achieve resonance on different frequencies.
Oh.
Figure 5 provides a visual representation of how those different sections interact.
Looking at the diagram, it's like a dipole with extra segments added on.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Woodward explains how those different sections work together, mm-hmm, to create an antenna system.
Okay.
That's capable of operating on multiple bands.
Right.
It's a testament to the ingenuity of antenna design.
I'm getting the sense that there's a whole world of antenna configurations out there just waiting to be explored.
Absolutely. And Woodward encourages that exploration.
Okay.
He emphasizes that the dipole and its variations are just a few examples.
Right.
He challenges us to experiment with different designs and discover what works best for us.
That's the spirit of DIY Tinker. Learn and have fun with it.
Exactly.
Now, we've talked about antennas,
mm-hmm.
but we can't forget about a crucial component that Woodward mentions.
Okay.
The feed line.
Right. The conduit that carries our precious radio frequency energy.
Exactly.
From the transmitter to the antenna.
Woodward explains that the most common type of feed line used with wire antennas is coaxial cable.
Coaxial cable is the standard for a reason.
Right.
It's readily available, easy to work with, and effective for most wire antenna setups.
That's the one with the inner conductor surrounded by a braided shield, right?
That's the one.
I've seen it used for all sorts of things.
Woodward highlights the importance of choosing a coaxial cable
mm-hmm.
with the right impedance to match the antenna.
Right. We talked about impedance matching earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's about ensuring that power flows efficiently from the transmitter to the antenna.
A perfect analogy.
Like those pipes we talked about earlier.
And that brings us to the concept of characteristic impedance.
Okay.
A property of the cable itself.
Okay, remind me why characteristic impedance matters so much.
It's all about compatibility.
Okay.
The characteristic impedance of the cable
right,
needs to match the impedance of both the antenna and the transmitter
right.
for optimal power transfer.
Okay.
If there's a mismatch, you lose signal power, and you could even damage your equipment.
Now I remember. Everything needs to be in sync for the system to work effectively.
Exactly. And Woodward explains that coaxial cable with a characteristic impedance of 50 ohms is the most common type.
Okay.
Used with amateur radio equipment.
So sticking with 50 ohm coaxial cable is a safe bet for most wire antenna setups.
For sure.
What about other types of feed lines? Are there any alternatives?
He mentions twin lead and open wire lines.
Okay.
Which can be more efficient in specific situations, but those are topics for another deep dive.
Okay.
For beginners, coaxial cable is a great starting point.
So we've chosen our wire, our insulators.
Okay.
We've got our 50-ohm coaxial cable.
Okay.
Now, how do we connect everything together?
Woodward stresses the importance of making clean, solid connections.
Okay.
To ensure good electrical contact.
Okay.
And he even recommends using a soldering iron to secure those connections.
Okay.
And prevent them from coming loose over time.
Soldering takes me back to my electronics hobby days.
Yeah.
It's like creating a permanent bond between the components.
Exactly. And he provides specific tips for connecting the coaxial cable to the antenna, including stripping the right amount of insulation and making sure everything is connected properly.
I'm picturing those detailed diagrams again, guiding us every step of the way.
Yeah.
What about weatherproofing? We don't want our connections failing because of a little rain or snow.
You're right. Weatherproofing's crucial.
Yeah.
Woodward reminds us to protect those connections from the elements.
Okay.
So now we have our antenna up. It's connected to our transmitter with our coaxial cable.
Right.
And all the connections are weatherproof and secure. What's next?
I'm on the edge of my seat. What happens next?
The moment of truth testing.
Oh, yeah.
Woodward recommends using an SWR meter.
Okay.
Remember, that stands for standing wave ratio.
Right.
To check the impedance match between the antenna feed line and the transmitter.
The SWR meter, our antenna's health checkup tool.
Exactly.
So a good SWR reading means efficient power transfer, a strong signal, and a happy antenna.
Exactly. He explains how to use the SWR meter to find the resonant frequency of the antenna.
Okay.
That sweet spot where everything is working in perfect harmony.
Right.
And if the reading is a bit off, he provides tips for adjusting the antenna length to achieve optimal performance.
So we might need to do some fine tuning to achieve that optimal performance.
Exactly. And once we've achieved a good SWR reading, we can be confident that our antenna is ready to send those signals out into the world.
Now that's a satisfying conclusion to our antenna construction journey.
It is. But the world of wire antennas doesn't stop there.
Oh.
Woodward dives into some fascinating variations on the classic dipole.
Okay.
Like the inverted V and the multiband dipole.
Oh, right. We were just talking about those.
Remember those.
Yeah. We talked about them briefly earlier, but I'm eager to learn more.
Okay, good.
So let's start with the inverted V. What makes it so special?
Well, as the name suggests, it's a dipole bent into a V shape.
Right.
As shown in figure two. Woodward explains that this configuration can be a great space saver.
Right.
Especially for those with limited horizontal real estate.
It's perfect for those with smaller yards or those living in apartments.
Yeah.
It's all about adapting to your environment, right?
Exactly. And Woodward even provides a handy formula for calculating the adjusted length of the wire when using an inverted V configuration.
He always has us covered with those precise calculations.
Right.
Now onto the multiband dipole.
Okay.
The one that allows us to operate on multiple frequency bands
with
a single antenna.
That sounds incredibly versatile.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's a bit more complex to design.
I would think so.
You're right. Multiband dipole design requires careful calculations to determine the length of different sections of wire needed to achieve resonance on those different frequencies.
Okay.
Figure 5 in the article illustrates the concept beautifully.
Looking at the diagram, it's like a dipole with extra segments added on. Fascinating how those different sections work together.
It's a testament to the ingenuity of antenna design.
Right.
Woodward explains how those different sections interact to create an antenna system capable of operating on multiple bands.
It sounds like a whole new level of antenna mastery.
It is a little more advanced, but it's definitely worth exploring.
Now, throughout the article, Woodward emphasizes the importance of grounding for safety.
Yes, he does.
Can you elaborate on why grounding is so crucial?
Absolutely.
And how to do it properly?
Grounding provides a safe path for lightning strikes and static discharges to safely flow into the ground, protecting both you and your equipment.
Okay.
Woodward suggests using a heavy gauge copper wire connected to a good ground rod driven into the earth.
All right.
He even provides a tip for ensuring a good electrical connection.
Oh, what's that?
Cleaning the contact surfaces with a file or sandpaper.
Oh, okay. So really make sure that connection is good.
Yeah, you want a nice clean connection.
Those little details can make all the difference.
They really can.
When it comes to safety and performance.
Absolutely.
Now, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Is there anything else that stands out to you from Woodward's article?
What really struck me was the emphasis on experimentation and the DIY spirit.
Okay.
Woodward doesn't just give us instructions.
Right.
He encourages us to explore, to try different things, and to learn from both our successes and our, shall we say, learning experiences.
Oh, right.
Which we all have.
That's what makes this hobby so rewarding. It's about continuous learning and discovery.
Exactly. And Woodward reminds us that there's a whole community of antenna enthusiasts out there.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to share their knowledge and experiences.
For sure.
Don't be afraid to reach out, ask questions, and get involved.
Absolutely. We'll be back soon with part 2 of our deep dive, where we'll explore even more fascinating aspects of wire antennas.
Welcome back to our deep dive into wire antennas. Last time we covered a lot of the basics. From choosing the right type of antenna to understanding feed lines and impedance matching.
Right.
Now let's explore some of the more intriguing aspects that Woodward covers.
I'm ready for more antenna adventures.
Okay.
What's next on the agenda?
Well, Woodward introduces this concept of a random length wire antenna.
Oh.
A fascinating option for those with limited space or who simply enjoy experimentation.
Random length. That sounds a bit, random.
It kind of is.
How does that even work if the length isn't precisely calculated?
That's the beauty of it.
Okay.
It's less about precise calculations and more about finding what works best in your specific environment.
Okay.
Woodward emphasizes that these antennas can be surprisingly effective.
Okay.
Especially when paired with a good antenna tuner.
So it's like a more free-flowing approach to antenna design. I like it.
But I'm guessing there are some trade-offs with this flexibility, right?
Of course, yeah.
Woodward points out that random length wire antennas might not be as efficient as a carefully tuned dipole.
Okay.
And they could be more susceptible to noise and interference.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about finding that right balance.
Right, for your needs.
For your needs.
Okay, so for those seeking maximum performance and precision, the classic dipole still reigns supreme.
Well,
but for those who enjoy tinkering and adapting to their surroundings, the random length wire antenna offers an exciting alternative.
And speaking of adapting,
Woodward
provides practical tips for installing these antennas, suggesting trees, buildings, or even fences as support structures.
Resourcefulness at its finest.
Yeah.
It's all about working with what you have.
Right.
Now, remember, we briefly touched upon feed lines earlier.
Yeah, we did.
Specifically, coaxial cable.
Okay.
What are some of the key points Woodward emphasizes about this essential component?
He reiterates the importance of choosing a coaxial cable with the right impedance to match your antenna.
Right.
Remember, impedance matching is crucial for efficient power transfer.
Right. A mismatch can lead to signal loss.
Exactly.
And even damage to our equipment.
Yeah, you don't want that.
We definitely don't want that.
Woodward also explains this concept of characteristic impedance.
Okay.
Which is a property of the cable itself.
Okay.
Think of it like the cable's inherent resistance to the flow of electrical current.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the characteristic impedance of the cable
right.
needs to match the impedance of both the antenna and the transmitter
okay.
for optimal performance.
Woodward mentioned that coaxial cable with a characteristic impedance of 50 ohms
right.
is the standard for amateur radio.
Precisely. Sticking with 50-ohm coaxial cable is a safe bet for most wire antenna setups.
Okay.
He does mention other types of feed lines like twin lead and open wire lines.
Right.
But those are topics for another deep dive.
Yeah. Always more to explore in the world of antennas.
For beginners, coaxial cable is a great starting point.
Okay, so let's talk about connecting everything together.
Okay.
What are some of Woodward's, like, pro tips for ensuring that those connections mm-hmm. are solid and reliable?
He emphasizes making clean, solid connections for good electrical contact.
Okay.
And he even recommends using a soldering iron
right.
to secure those connections and prevent them from coming loose.
Soldering is a great way to create a durable bond.
Yeah, for sure.
Between components. It's a skill worth mastering.
It is.
For any electronics enthusiast.
Absolutely.
And he provides specific tips for connecting the coaxial cable to the antenna.
Yeah.
Including stripping the right amount of insulation from the cable.
Yeah.
And ensuring that the center conductor and shield are properly connected.
Exactly.
I'm envisioning those detailed diagrams again.
All right.
Guiding us every step of the way.
Weatherproofing is crucial.
Right.
Woodward reminds us to protect those connections from the elements.
Yeah.
Using weather-resistant tape or sealant.
Okay. So we've got our antenna built.
Okay.
It's up in the air.
Connected to our transmitter via our trusty coaxial cable.
Mm-hmm.
And all the connections are weatherproofed and secure.
All right, what's next on our antenna checklist?
Yeah, what's next? I'm ready.
The final step before we start transmitting is testing.
Okay.
Remember that SWR meter we talked about earlier?
Uh-huh.
That's our go-to tool for checking the impedance match.
Okay.
Between the antenna, feed line, and transmitter.
Right. The SWR meter helps us ensure efficient power transfer and a strong signal.
Exactly. He explains how to use the SWR meter
okay.
to find the resonant frequency of the antenna.
Right.
That sweet spot where everything is working in harmony.
Right.
And if the SWR reading is a bit off,
yeah.
he provides guidance on adjusting the antenna length
okay.
to achieve optimal performance.
So it's all about fine-tuning our antenna.
Exactly.
Make sure it's operating at peak efficiency.
And once we've achieved a good SWR reading,
right.
we can be confident that our antenna is ready to send those signals out into the world. You got it. But the world of wire antennas doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
Woodward dives into some fascinating variations on the classic dipole.
Right.
Like the inverted V and the multi-band dipole. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. We talked about them briefly earlier.
Yeah.
But I'm eager to learn more.
Let's start with the inverted V. What makes it so special?
Well, as the name suggests,
hmm.
it's a dipole bent into a V shape, as shown in figure 2.
Right.
Woodward explains that this configuration can be a great space saver.
Right.
Especially for those with limited horizontal real estate.
It's perfect for those with smaller yards or those living in apartments.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about adapting to your environment, right?
Exactly. And Woodward even provides a handy formula
oh.
for calculating the adjusted length of the wire
okay.
when using an inverted V configuration.
He always has us covered with those precise calculations.
And he tries to.
Now, on to the multiband dipole, the one that allows us to operate on multiple frequency bands.
Yes.
With a single antenna.
That sounds incredibly versatile.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's a bit more complex to design.
I would think so.
You're right. Multiband dipole design requires careful calculation
okay.
to determine the length of different sections of wire needed to achieve resonance
right.
on those different frequencies. Figure 5 in the article illustrates the concept beautifully.
Looking at the diagram, it's like a dipole with extra segments added on.
It is.
Fascinating how those different sections work together.
It's a testament to the ingenuity of antenna design.
Right.
Woodward explains how those different sections interact to create an antenna system capable of operating on multiple bands.
It sounds like a whole new level of antenna mastery.
It is a little more advanced, but it's definitely worth exploring.
Now, throughout the article, Woodward emphasizes the importance of grounding for safety.
Yes, he does.
Can you elaborate on why grounding is so crucial?
Absolutely.
And how to do it properly?
Grounding provides a safe path for lightning strikes and static discharges to safely flow into the ground, protecting both you and your equipment.
Right.
Woodward suggests using a heavy gauge copper wire connected to a good ground rod driven into the earth.
Okay.
He even provides a tip for ensuring a good electrical connection.
Oh, what's that?
Cleaning the contact surfaces with a file or sandpaper.
Oh, okay. So really make sure that connection is good.
Yeah, you want a nice clean connection.
Those little details can make all the difference when it comes to safety and performance.
They really can.
Now, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Is there anything else that stands out to you from Woodward's article?
What really struck me was the emphasis on experimentation and the DIY spirit.
Okay.
Woodward doesn't just give us instructions. Mm-hmm. He encourages us to explore, to try different things, mm-hmm. and to learn from both our successes and our, shall we say, learning experiences.
Uh-huh, right. Which we all have.
Which we all have.
That's what makes this hobby so rewarding. It's about continuous learning and discovery.
Exactly. And Woodward reminds us that there's a whole community of antenna enthusiasts out there.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to share their knowledge and experiences. Don't be afraid to reach out, ask questions, and get involved.
Absolutely. We'll be back soon with part three of our deep dive, where we'll explore even more fascinating aspects of wire antennas. Welcome back to the final part of our wire antenna deep dive.
It's been a great journey.
It really has. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From the basics of dipole design.
Right.
To the nuances of feed lines and impedance matching.
All those important details.
All those little details.
Right.
Now let's wrap things up with some inspiring stories and some final thoughts from Woodward.
Sounds good. One of the things that really stood out to me in the article was the section where Woodward shares feedback from readers who built their own antennas based on his instructions.
I love those real-world success stories.
Me too.
It's one thing to read about the theory, but it's even more inspiring to hear about people actually putting it into practice.
Right.
And achieving amazing results.
For sure. What kind of feedback did he share?
Yeah. What kind of feedback?
Well, one reader in Pennsylvania managed to contact over 100 countries on just the 15-meter band using a simple wire antenna.
That's incredible.
Imagine that, connecting with people across the globe with a homemade antenna.
It shows that you don't need fancy, expensive equipment to get started and have fun with ham radio.
Exactly. Another reader in California reported making contacts as far away as New Zealand.
Wow, those are some serious DX achievements.
They are impressive.
It's amazing what you can accomplish with a bit of knowledge, some basic materials, and a lot of enthusiasm.
It really is.
So as we wrap up this electrifying...
It has been electrifying.
...deep dive into the world of wire antennas.
Right.
What are your final words of wisdom for those ready to embark on their own antenna building adventures?
I think Woodward sums it up perfectly. He encourages readers to embrace the simplicity.
Yeah.
The affordability and the sheer joy of experimentation that wire antennas offer.
Right.
Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
To try different configurations and to learn from both your successes and your, shall we say, learning experiences.
Exactly. It's not about being perfect.
Yeah.
It's about embracing that process of learning and discovering.
Absolutely.
What other resources does Woodward recommend for those who want to delve deeper into the world of antennas?
He mentions a wealth of resources available to help along the way, from classic books and magazines to online forums and clubs where you can connect with fellow antenna enthusiasts.
Absolutely. The world of amateur radio is incredibly welcoming and supportive.
It is.
And there's a whole community out there ready to share their knowledge and experiences.
Exactly. So don't be afraid to reach out, ask questions, and get involved.
And on that note of inspiration, we bid you farewell, fellow knowledge seekers. Keep those signals strong and clear. And until next time, happy experimenting.